Now, that's a very funny story. So the worst resume writers, and I've been in this business now 26 years, I've seen thousands, tens of thousands of resumes, and I've helped tens of thousands of people. The world's worst resume writers are sales, marketing, and human resources. Now, you would think those are the three functions that would know how to write resume and sell, sell, sell. No.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Martin Buckland. Here's three facts I think it would be helpful for you to know about Martin. Number one, he is globally acclaimed as an executive career coach and executive resume writer. He's helped thousands manage their careers and climb the corporate ladder to get the job they wanted most. Two, Martin works with MBA, EMBA, that's executive MBA students and grads, professionals, mining executives, and the C-suite, and he's helped them in 74 countries. And three, before Martin went into the MBA executive resume business, he had a distinguished career in law enforcement. In particular, he worked with the London Metropolitan Police and Scotland Yard. Shh, don't tell anybody. Can't talk about that here. Martin, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you, George. It's a pleasure to be on here. I'm looking forward to sharing my knowledge and helping your viewers.
Martin, you work with executives to better their careers, to promote themselves, write their resumes, prepare themselves for the interviews and such. What do you often find lacking, and perhaps even might be surprising to those of us who think that executives, well, they got it all under control, they know what to do. In fact, what is the reality?
Well, actually, the reality is that hardly any of them know how to manage their careers. So I get it down to the basics. I'm a very realistic coach. I say it as it is. So really, everybody on this planet who's in the profession is a product. And the wrapping is your resume, your LinkedIn profile, and other social media assets. So you have to get into the mindset of selling. Now, people can't do that, especially introverts. That's really, really problematical for them. But they can get into that mindset because you're a product and you're sending that product to the market. And you constantly have to nurture and update that product because you never know when you're going to be downsized. Termination is rife right now, especially during COVID. And who knew in January, February that millions across the world would be let loose?
So these executives need to think of themselves, and that's a great analogy, as a product, and their resume and their social media, that's simply the wrapping to attract people to come running. Oh, I want to open up this one first. This looks attractive. And does that mean that they need to be dishonest or hide their flaws?
Gosh, no, they need, don't embellish, don't tell lies, but everybody has their own unique promise of value. Everybody has their differentiator. And, you know, the higher you go, the less jobs there are. So you're fighting, fierce fighting at the top there, but you have to differentiate yourself and make yourself basically look seductive. So everybody can make themselves look seductive. I have people say, oh, I haven't got anything. I say, well, sit with me. And that's where my police interview skills come in. I don't put them in the handcuffs, but you know, I really put them through a grilling because I want them to get the best and they want the best. So I put them through a set process that they really learn about themselves, and they get that mindset, okay, I'm going to go on the road. I'm going to sell my product.
So the concept of selling a product, I would imagine that sales executives probably excel at this because they know about selling.
Now, that's a very funny story. So the worst resume writers, and I've been in this business now 26 years, I've seen thousands, tens of thousands of resumes, and I've helped tens of thousands of people. The world's worst resume writers are sales, marketing, and human resources. Now, you would think those are the three functions that would know how to write resume and sell. No, I see resumes often every week when I give a free critique of sales resumes without any dollar value, any euro value, any pound value, or any other currency value, any percentiles. Well, what are you in this game for? What are you going to be measured for? You're going to be measured basically for how much money can you make? How many new clients can you go? Can you snag from the competition and things like that? They're very, very basic. I know you do account management, but I want to know how much money can you make me, or can you increase my revenue per client and things like that. Oh, it's shocking. I think I can count on one hand the number of good sales resumes I've seen.
A sales resume crosses my desk. I'm looking to hire a VP sales or a director of sales. And what 3 points should I be looking for that goes into, yes, we want to talk to this person pile?
That's a great question. So you should look for their accomplishments, because we're revolved around accomplishments. When I first started writing resumes, it was basically a resume was your responsibilities. I'm not really interested in your responsibilities now, except for a few things, your number of direct and indirect reports and your budgets, etc. I'm interested in the money. So territory expansion, new product introduction, NPI, or expanding the market from 12% to 15%, or capturing this client from ABC company or whatever. So the world revolves around what I call star stories. So situation, task, action, result. So that's when a client engages me, I get them to think about those star stories. So they have to be, they have to show performance. They have to have the resume in the ATS format. Now, this is a tragedy. I see so many viable candidates who don't have their resume in the ATS format. What is ATS? ATS is the automated tracking system. So it's a computer system. So you create your resume, you send your resume, and it goes through a computer, and it's stored in that database. It's a database. Unfortunately, human resources very, very rarely, or executive recruiters very rarely touch a resume initially. So this ATS, this scanning machinery, processes it for you. If you don't have an ATS resume, it's built around a certain function, a certain format, because it's computer. You never mess around with a computer. You can never beat a computer, but you can at least try and match it. You will fail, even though you are the perfect candidate. So you have to show sales figures, performance, etc. You have to have an ATS resume. And then at the top, you should have your personal brand. So personal branding has become huge. I carry some certifications in personal branding. I'm passionate about personal branding. It's your unique promise of value. What is so special about you? Give me a compelling reason why I should call you over Mary, Mark, or Paul. So you are in a race, and you're a salesperson, you're a product, and you're sending that product to the market, and you're in a race, and there is only a trophy for number one.
Number one. Now, personal brand, Martin Bucklin, what's your personal brand?
Oh, okay. So I am an expert in helping, nurturing, coaching senior executives and other business professionals with a lot of ambition to reach their career goals.
Now, I notice a lot of specific words in there. So you're looking senior executives, and you're only looking for ambitious ones. You're not looking for you don't want to help the lazy ones. Lazy ones can stay away.
Exactly.
So if they come to you, they right off the bat, they are saying that, okay, I'm willing to work at this.
Yeah. So career management is a full-time gig, especially when you're in career transition. So you have to work at your career management. Sadly, people don't. They have no idea on career management. So when you're when you're gainfully employed, you should always be managing your career. I don't want to see you disappear off LinkedIn. Yeah, you don't have to be on LinkedIn as much as you did when you're in career transition. But once in a while, show me you're there. Show, do some activity, share some content, share a blog or comment on something, or publish your own blog. But people are innate. They have no idea on managing their careers. And then, of course, you know, they manage their finances, but they don't manage their careers. Now, statistics tell us that if they manage their careers early on in the year, when you go and see your financial planner, you can give more money for investments in various methods of investment to that investment planner. And then you can retire early, or you can earn more money, or you can go up the ladder a lot more. So career management is an education. And that's what I'm trying to broadcast to the world, really, on how you should manage your career and the importance and the benefits of managing your career.
Martin, you work a lot with executive MBA students, and these typically an executive MBA is someone who's been in the workforce for some time, probably at a senior level, and now they're investing the time to go back to school and study. They're probably doing it on weekends and evenings over a couple of years. They go through that and they expect that their career is just going to take off, and then they bump into reality. And they say, Martin, I need your help. I've got this EMBA, but it's not enough. What are they missing when they come to you?
Well, the reason why I found this niche was many years ago, I worked for a Canadian business school, and I uncovered this niche that they engaged me, this Canadian business school engaged me. And they come out of this program, they go in with lots of oomph and lots of ambition and lots of drive, and they want to be a CEO pretty damn fast, or some other C-level or very senior level in their own industry pretty damn fast. But they come out of that program exhausted, and they need to take a break because they haven't seen their family, they haven't seen their kids grow from here to here. They haven't maybe seen their spouses for months and months on end. They traveled a lot. They've been doing their full-time gig. They do projects during the week. It's an onerous degree. I myself couldn't do that degree. It's so dedicated, but it's a fantastic opportunity to progress your career. And in this recession, EMBAs are expediting their career growth. That I help them through that. I tell them to take a break, and then I nurture them, and then prepare them ready for a job search launch to get to where they, when they join that EMBA program, where they wanted to go. And invariably they are, if not, they're surpassing those targets. Yeah, so it's a very interesting degree. And these schools, the business schools, tend not to teach about, they teach about leadership and career and management, but not career management. So they, this is this niche I found, and I'm now the global expert. I work for dozens of business schools across the world. And that's what takes me, in good times, traveling a lot.
Now, when you say career management, I suppose it's really self-management, about setting goals and a plan for yourself, and maybe taking all that strategic planning that they learned about and turn it on yourself. Is that sort of what you do?
Yeah, basically, it's teaching them how to manage their own career, because we all manage, as I say a few minutes ago, we will manage our finances, or hopefully we do. And then the career management goes with it. It's just like you take that career home with you. So, you know, if you're unhappy in your career, you take that unhappiness home to your spouse and your kids and whatever. It's not just an 8 or a 12 hour job. It's a full-time gig almost. So you have to really, it plays a huge role in your overall life. So you want to be happy, you want to earn a decent salary, you want to do designations, you want to learn new things, and that's where I can help with coaching, various modalities of coaching. I have multiple certifications in coaching, and bringing them through that doubt, that skepticism, and taking them on a path, planning a path, creating a path, and working with them as they execute that plan.
Martin, I'm curious, how has your experience and the skills that you developed with Scotland Yard, how has that transferred to what you're doing now?
Okay, so in the police, it's the same as the military. You're very disciplined. I mean, I was very disciplined in the Metropolitan Police in London. And so you now have to be disciplined in your career management, career transition, and people aren't. They are all over the place. And so I teach people to go from A to B in the fastest possible way. It's like marketing, a salesperson, they target. And they go for the bullseye, and then if they can't, don't hit that, they go for the bigger bullseye, and then they go out. So it's a very disciplined approach, and I hold people accountable, and that's what a police officer does. And then my interview skills, people say, wow, I can tell you were a police officer by the way you interview me, and you literally pull stuff out. And they say, well, I didn't think that was really of value to me in my career. And I say, yes, this is huge value to your career. And I'm trying to get that niche so people hire them, because we all hire experts.
Okay, Martin. So I've come to you. I've just completed an EMBA program, and I'm currently a senior manager in say marketing. And I want to boost my career, get into that C-suite. We sit down. What are some of the first two or three questions you might ask me, or perhaps orders you might give me?
Well, it depends. So I'd like to know the overall, the globe of that person. So I ask them a little bit about their personal life, and I ask them a lot about their career, and invariably they probably have got a questionable resume, CV. And so I look at that, and then I say, well, let's work on a 5-year plan. Let's work on a 10-year plan. At least you're going to have it jotted down. But, you know, things like COVID can get in the way. I mean, several people had plans, but COVID just put the axe to that plan. But at least you have a plan. You have something to aim for, because in the EMBA program, you had something to aim for, and now you have something to aim for because you spent a lot of money and a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into that program. So I set them down, do the career plan, and then we get the collateral, as I call it, going, like the resume or the CV, depends on where you are in the world, the cover letters, and then their social media profile, introducing them to executive recruiters, because I'm very well connected with executive recruiters across the world, and introducing them to my past clients, because I have a massive database. So, and then then it's down to them, but I'm always here. They can always pick up the phone, or they can reach me on Zoom or email, because I'm a really hands-on coach. Once you're a client, you're always a client.
And Martin, I understand that you have a generous offer that anyone who's looking for a critique of their resume, their CV, you're willing to spend up to 30 minutes on the phone or on Zoom with them, I'm guessing, depending on where they are. And in order for people to take advantage of that, how do they get hold of you?
So, yeah, I'm more than happy to give it, because I like to educate people. I'm not after it for the satisfying of money going into my bank balance. I like to help people, and if they sometimes maybe engage me, if they not, maybe not. But they can get hold of me through my website, www.anelitresume.com, and then my email is Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, @anelitresume.com. Or if they're a senior executive or an aspiring business leader, connect with me on LinkedIn, and then we can have a conversation, and then you can, via the messenger, you can send that file, that resume, that CV to me, and then we'll arrange a mutual time to have that critique. Doesn't matter where you are in the world.
Martin, how long should a resume be? One page, two page?
One page is a no-no. That's a cardinal sin, because you can't sell yourself in a one page. Lots of people used to do one pages, but you can't sell it. And it's not ATS scannable today. So if you're in the US, doesn't matter what level you are, you have to have a two page. But everywhere else in the world, for the demographic that I work in, the mid management and all the way up to the top, a three page is perfectly. But the rule of thumb is you either do two pages or you do 3 pages. You don't do 2.5, 2.25, 2.75. Well, because what's that going to tell a reader at the other end? That this person hasn't got enough to fill 3 pages. Everyone has, everyone with 15 years or more experience has enough to fill 3 pages.
ATS format, you mentioned that that's what it needs to get, needs to be in so that the computers scan it and it passes. What does that mean? Are there certain keyword headings that need to be there, or is there, is it a format in terms of boxes on the paper? What needs to be there to pass ATS?
Yeah, sure. So it's, I mean, I could keep you busy here till breakfast tomorrow morning, but it's built by programmers who, some of them probably never even written a resume or whatever, but, and there's 22 different software houses in the world that create all the ATS for all the executive recruiters and all the corporate Canada, corporate US, corporate UK, or wherever. So it's a certain format. Don't mess around with that format. So people tended in the old days to have their degrees or their designations behind their name. So if they got MBA, BA, and PNG or whatever, now the computer will think their name is MBA, BNG, PMP or whatever. So you have to have it underneath. And you have to have your full residential address. You have to have your LinkedIn profile. Now you have to have your Zoom address. And then you have to have a directive. So instead of the word objective or profile, those make me... they are really, really outdated words, and same as references available upon request. That makes me want to throw up when I see that on there. Yeah, because it's 15 years out of date. So you need to be up to date, not 2005. So then you need to have your personal brand statement, and then you need to have a soft skill summary, and then you need to have those buzzwords. So if your resume was in a database, fed into a database, the ATS database, a recruiter or an HR professional is going to call you specifically based on those buzzwords. So you have to know those industry functional skill specific buzzwords. And because I'm lucky, I know most of them. But imagine your resume was hidden in your computer. What business functional buzzwords would you type in to have your resume to come out the other end? And then, of course, it goes into reverse chronological of your work experience. Emphasize your company, and emphasize your title, not your company. You're not selling your employer. This is your resume, not your employer's resume. And then, of course, we're talking about those star stories. 1.5 star stories per year. So for every 2 years, 3 star stories. That's what they're looking for at this end of the career. And the further you go back, the less important it is, unless you kind of save the world or something.
Now those star stories, that's probably something people don't think about as part of their resume, or I'm wondering, do some people think, well, yeah, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So that's great. So you really have to come out and brag. So I tell my clients at home, because you never know when you're going to be terminated, keep a brag book. And every time you deliver an accomplishment to your employer, note that down. So when you come to update your resume, and I would suggest you update it every 3 or 4 months anyway, because you never know when a tap on the shoulder is going to come and I need your resume. I've got the next perfect job. So star, 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 sell, sell, sell. Don't brag, but tell a compelling story, or you start off with different action verbs. I mean, the English language is so amazing. There is a free ebook on my website with 2020 different action verbs. I've never used the word murdered yet, but you never know.
That could be
I've used the word annihilated. Annihilated the competition. So that's pretty damn good.
Devastated, destroyed, bombed.
Yeah, so flooded. There you go. Yeah, I mean, yeah, spend a few hours with me and I'll educate you on all sorts of action verbs.
Funny you mention words. One of my pet peeves is the word very.
Oh, very? Really?
Yeah. People say that's very interesting or very successful. Well, was it successful or was it very successful? And if it was very interesting, what do you mean it was captivating? It wasn't very interesting.
Yeah. That's right. So coming back to sales, and I know you're primary in sales, I see in sales resumes, increased. Well, that doesn't show me any imagination or creativity or whatever. So what about the word propelled, catapulted, boosted, uplifted? There's so many other different words you can use just for one word. This is part of the sales proposition. You are selling yourself. So introduce some of those sexy words to seduce the audience at the other end.
Now, when you write the resume, do you write it for the computer or do you write it for a person?
I write it for both. So there's a little bit of a flavor of their personality in there, but I also write it because I know they've got to get slipped through that scanning machinery. So I write it for both. I mean, I've been on endless courses on how to write ATS resumes. I hold multiple credentials. And so you need to just write it for both, but you need to have the flavor, the characteristic and the culture of that person. And that's where the soft skills at the top come in. Yeah.
You mentioned keywords need to be there. Now, the word increased could be a keyword, whereas propelled, boosted, catapulted might not fit the computer?
No, it will fit the computer. So by buzzwords, I'm looking at industry related. So in your trade, sales, it would be account management, territory management, contract negotiations, RFP, RFQ, RFI. And what type of hunter are you? Are you solutions? Are you a hunter? You know, and all sorts of different things. So, but the buzzwords would be related to sales. You know, what type of sales? Is it B2B? Is it B2C? Is it B2G? B2E? Distributor? VAR? All sorts of different sales as well. Because if you got all those, then that's a good, especially in today when they're looking to save money. If you can do all those or three or four of those sales, the selling to government is different to selling to consumers, different to selling to business. So there's an art to all of those. But if you can do all those and you've got knowledge right now, when resources and money is thin, they would like that. But in good times, then they're looking for experts. Yeah.
We've been talking about resumes. Do cover letters, is that still a thing?
Yes. So cover letters. So a resume takes you from today forwards. No, resume takes you from today backwards, and a cover letter takes you from today forwards. So it's written in the personal pronoun, the word I, my, he or she. And there's five different types of cover letters, depending on the audience. So there's one as a reply to an advert. And in that one, you don't have to have everything in that advert, but don't go less than 80%. I mean, I see some people with 10% and they still apply for jobs. That's not just only wasting your time, but that's wasting everybody else's time. Only apply for jobs that, you know, you think you are almost the perfect candidate. And then there's a letter to introduce yourself to executive recruiters. And in that one, you need to talk about whether you're willing to relocate, because a recruiter in Toronto could be hiring in Vancouver and vice versa. If you're not willing to relocate, you need to tell them whether you're willing to travel, what percentile of travel. Then the next one is as a result of networking. So hello, Mr. Smith of ABC Companies introduced me to you. He thinks I would be an ideal whatever. And then the next one is a direct mail. So you want to go and work for ABC Company. So you find the person who would be your boss or your boss's boss, and you network with him and open up dialogue, conversation with them. And then you fire the cover letter and the resume to them. And then the fifth and final one is what I call a pain, P-A-I-N. So there's lots of companies in pain right now.
But hurting.
Yeah, so you uncover their pain through your networking with people who are currently there or who've left the organization, because you should always network with people who've recently left the company after 6 months, within the last 6 months, because they can dig up all the dirt for you. They've got no affiliation and they can spill the beans and tell you all sorts of stuff about that company. So there's your research done on the pain. So yes, cover letters are just as important. They're not read 100%, but I tell my clients, it's the old Boy Scouts motto, be prepared.
The cover letter is still a critical part. The resume is a critical part. And what about the human part, the conversation, whether it's in person, over the phone, or by Zoom? What advice do you give to candidates on how to present themselves? What do you see them typically missing? What mistakes?
Well, they're not very expressive. They don't get excited. Like, they sit like this all the time and just mumble and mumble and mumble. You body language, you know, it's very, very important. It relates to, it shows that you are really excited. So use your body language. I mean, if you can use your, in person, and sadly in-person interviews are few and far between today, but, you know, there's such things as mirroring. So you mirror what the recruiter or the HR professional or other interviewer is doing. But yeah, show your excitement. And at the end, it's a two-way street. An interview is a two-way street. It's not just a one-way street. You've got chance to ask questions. You've got a chance to put that interviewer on the spot. And always, this is a good tip, always Google that interviewer first. Because, and look at them on LinkedIn, because you may have gone to the same school or you may have worked for the same company 20 years ago, and there's a conversation point. So you've gone from a cold to a warm, and maybe slightly warmer, hot lead, because of your conversation point.
If you could give three pieces of advice to an individual out there who's maybe not quite executive, or perhaps just recently into the executive level, if you could give them three pieces of advice to maintain and continue to grow their career, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Great. So yeah, be active on social media. If you avoid on social media, I can't find you and you can't find them on social media. If you haven't got a LinkedIn profile, you're committing career suicide. But then not only just having a profile, you need to be active on that profile. You need to fill it in from top to bottom, because it's scroll. You can scroll all the way down, unlike a resume. So make sure you're active on social media. Convert to the sales mode, which we talked about earlier. So you're a salesperson. You are selling yourself to the market. And then make sure you have an up-to-date resume or CV, ATS friendly. And then just keep up your network. Your network, you need to network, network, network. We're in a network age. If you don't network, that's going to diminish your chances of getting up to the top level.
An appropriate note to finish on. My guest today is Martin Buckland, helping you build your brag book.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.